I warmly welcome you all in the name of the Lord. Also, all brothers and sisters who were not here this afternoon, but who are now with us, feel free and at home, and may God bless you all richly. We have still many greetings from those who could not come. Also of them, there is a large number who would like to come, but who cannot come, whatever the reasons might be. We see here our French-speaking brethren. God bless you in a special way. If you want to sing us a song, you can sing in French. You can all sing so well. Brother Barrier is here, one of my very old friends, and Brother Kupfer, Brother Gilsong, and who they are. May God bless you all. Our brother from Lyon, I see just now, God bless you. And whatever, all who are here, we just wish one another God's blessing. Can you say this? God bless you, God bless you. And we have to mean it that way. We have to mean it that way. And then the blessing that we wish others with all our hearts, it will fall mightily back on us. Yes, that's how it is. That's how it is. If we bless others with all our hearts, then we are blessed wholeheartedly. Praise and thanks be to our God. Now, today we have the Lord's Supper and then also the foot washing. You all know the Good Friday is for all of us a special day, not so much as a day, but as that what happened on Calvary. And our Lord, before he went to Calvary, he celebrated the supper with his own, and then he was betrayed and went his way via Gethsemane to Calvary. And it just belongs together. As long as we are on earth and wait for the return of the Lord, that we, in the Lord's Supper, we always visualize anew what really happened for us. And we say this very clearly. In the Lord's Supper is no forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness happened when the blood of the Lamb was shed on the cross of Calvary. But through the Lord's Supper, the suffering and dying of Jesus Christ is shown before our eyes. And it says that we shall do it in memory, proclaiming the death of the Lord until he comes. And then we will celebrate it with him in the kingdom of God. This will then be the greatest Lord's Supper at all times. And blessed and holy is he who is invited to this supper. And there I want to see you all at the great supper in glory, when the bridegroom of our soul gives the bride the supper. At that time he said, I have desired to eat this supper with you. And I think that tonight, without any tension, without being nervous, that we can just fully surrender to God, opening ourselves to him, receiving what he has prepared for us. Redemption is not a cramped thing which we somehow must pull to ourselves. It's a gift from God, which has been given to the believer. And we just have to say thank you. You will see that already from the Old Testament, God has worked atonement by the shed blood, and that people could come nigh to him. And if it was only the high priest, once in a year, he was allowed to come into the presence of God after the blood was shed and was laid upon the altar. Then he was allowed to go behind the veil, speaking with God and behold his glory. The blood is shed. The reconciliation took place. The veil was rent. We may enter. We may enter. This we must understand. It happened for us. Sometimes we need a whole life to understand what God has given us by His grace. Actually, I still wanted to sing, but then the time will probably be missing to us because we have both the Lord's Supper and the foot washing. To those for whom the second part is new, we will then also read the Word of God from Exodus chapter 12. I would like to read Exodus 12, verse 12 to 14. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. It is upon my heart to pray once again. Let us stand up for it. Heavenly Father, we approach the Lord's Supper, and it is upon my heart that all, that everyone partakes of it. Lord, that nobody despises your blood, that nobody bypasses your suffering, but everyone by faith sees the Lamb of God and the blood which was shed, and that we all understand it, that it happened for us, for me, and for each one of us. Faithful Lord, we place ourselves now consciously under the coverage and protection of the blood of the Lamb. We receive the reconciliation and the forgiveness by faith fully, Lord, and we ask you, make us worthy to partake of the supper. Give your blessing to your word and give it to the supper. We thank you with all our hearts for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't believe that I ever, before a Lord's Supper, was so deeply urged to put the emphasis on that what really happened for us, so that no one out of false humility or on looking on oneself lets the meal pass by, but that we all, by looking up to God, find peace for our soul and can become still in reverence, in holiness before our God, by receiving with all our hearts what He has done for us. Here it was said, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." When the Lord put the New Testament in force, He said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." The new covenant came in force by the blood of the Lamb as a divine testament for the people of God. And as the people of Israel were placed under the blood of the Lamb, and the destruction angel with all his wrath could not accomplish anything, because the blood, by the order of God, signified a protection for the people of Israel, for the firstborn. May the anger of the devil be visible and feelable. We are not interested in it at all. We are under the blood, under the blood of the new covenant, and by it under divine protection. Amen? Under God's protection. And the devil has lost his right. Amen? That's how it is. And we don't need any feelings. We only need faith. There are enough people who want to be excited. This has nothing to do with faith. Faith is anchored in the Word of God. And that's why it stands firm. Feelings come and go. And what is when they are gone? Where do we stand then? Beloved, God and God's Word is trustworthy. And the Lord has never said anything which would not have been right. Let us receive it today by faith as a divine lesson and teaching. The people of the new covenant are under the blood of the new covenant, and the blood is our protection, and the enemy must pass by. This is the lesson from this word here. And it says, "This day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast." We want, and I believe we also use the word celebrate the Lord's Supper. This means in reverence before God, in holiness, in His presence, in acknowledging what happened for us. No one should be tormented any longer with an unbelieving heart or with a doubt. The plague shall strike Egypt, namely those who are in unbelief without promise. For here it speaks of the plagues. And the plagues didn't come upon them who were under the blood, but they came upon Egypt, among them who were full of unbelief and who had no promise. To the people of God, the Lord has promised blessing. And this divine blessing we want to receive by faith today. And therefore, we place ourselves upon the faith foundation of His precious and holy word. In Exodus 24, Exodus 24, we are shown that all of the people were sprinkled with the blood and also the book of the covenant. Let us read here from Exodus 24 from verse 6. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning all these words. Everything was placed under the blood, the altar, the book of God, the people of God, because everything belongs together and made up the whole covenant. That's how it is in the New Testament. The book of the covenant, the people of the covenant, the blood of the covenant, it belongs together. And we make up this divine unity tonight. And we place ourselves by faith under the blood of the covenant and believe every promise which was sealed with the blood when our Lord said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Can you follow me thus far? That we are not standing afar off, but as the redeemed by God, taken into his covenant, and that we may be under the protection of the blood. Still some scriptures from the New Testament, beginning with Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9. Here we read verse 14. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The dead must be put away so that the living can unfold. And we have the choice to remain in unbelief and by it in spiritual death, or in faith and thus spiritually penetrate into new life. Jesus our Lord said then, if you don't believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sin. But this is then not his fault. This is then your and my fault. Man does not die because he sinned. Man dies the spiritual death because he didn't receive the forgiveness of sin. This is the gospel. The gospel is not therein that we have sinned. That's what the law gave us. Of this God convicted us through all the commands and statutes. The gospel is the happy message that God pardoned us. Hallelujah. And this we may believe. In Hebrews, in chapter 7, it says, from verse 21, Hebrews chapter 7, from verse 21, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Jesus became surety. You all know, on earth nobody should become a surety. Woe unto him! He has risked his head. But here, the Lord became a surety. He has intervened and has taken responsibility. And it cannot go wrong. With men, it can go wrong. This I tell you. But not with God. And because we are dealing with God, therefore we believe him with all our hearts. To not believe him is sin. What did Brother Branham say many times? Sin of unbelief gives us a hard time. And therefore, God wants today, through his word, work such a living biblical faith which is anchored in the word of God, that the most powerful storms of Satan can no longer shake us, because our anchor reaches behind the veil, namely to there where God truly has revealed himself to us. We don't make a tour in the court to look around there. And I also don't believe that we make a tour in the sanctuary to look at the things. We have understood that the veil was rent so that we walk through into the Holy of Holies to appear in the presence of God. And here you may say, who is worthy? I not. And you also not. But that's not the point. There is one who was worthy and who intervened for all the unworthy, stepping into the breach. And I would be ashamed if I would esteem this great deed of God as little and then stand aside, looking on myself and say, yes, Lord, I don't know whether I can come. He has come. This was not a question. And he stepped into the breach. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. The way is free. By what? By a doctrine or by a knowledge? Through the blood. Through the blood. And we draw near to God today through the blood, because through the blood God came nigh to us. On Calvary it happened. How often did we say it? Only there where God met mankind, we can meet God. You don't have to look long just to come to Jesus Christ. For God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. We have here a wonderful word in Ephesians and one in Philippians. From Philippians chapter 2, I read the first verses. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. I think that should apply to us. We have only one goal, namely the same goal, of which Paul also writes to the Philippians, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I have the goal before me, and I follow after it, that I may reach it. We don't walk around aimless in our lives, but we received from God a very clear aim. And we are on this spiritual path. And with God's help, we want to lay aside everything what burdens us, so that we can follow the Lord unburdened, with the firm decisiveness to reach the destination by His grace. For thus Paul writes to the Corinthians, he that runs, or one place to Timothy, one in Corinthians, of the race to the Corinthians and of the reaching of the destination to Timothy. He that contends, let him contend rightly, otherwise he will not be crowned. And those who run in the race shall run in a way that they reach the destination. Earthy, when there is a race, then the one gets the gold medal, the other silver, and then bronze, and the others just look and are annoyed. But here, we are all well in the race, and we may walk forward with the help of God and help one another. And if one is leading a bit, we don't have to envy him. We only need to let God give us the strength to run on in this race, to reach together the destination. If we celebrate the Lord's Supper, then we deal with God, with redemption, with forgiveness, salvation, with love, with grace, with reconciliation, with everything what God has given us in Christ. And we many times emphasized it. Human love cannot stand the tests. There are enough tests there. Our love stops somewhere. But the divine love, which was poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, this holds up in all tests. It thinketh no evil. It forgives. It beareth all things. This is the big difference. Human love depends on circumstances, sometimes even on the weather, which could influence us. But the divine love is above all. It never started. It will never cease. It's nothing what you or I can bring forth, but what God has given us, and which comes forth as the fruit of the Spirit in our life. And this divine fellowship of the Spirit, this is a fellowship of those who are like-minded, but not the mind of a man, but, as Paul also writes here, let this mind, which was in Christ Jesus, dwell in all of you. If we, each one of us, have the mind of Christ, then we are of one mind, and this is God's mind. Then we have one Spirit, namely the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Then we are of one mind. Then we have one aim, one gospel, one word of God. And then we can, in the fellowship of the Spirit. And this fellowship of the Spirit bridges also differences of knowledge. It doesn't stop there where we stop. It never stops. Also this, we all must understand. The fellowship of the Spirit should be kept at all costs. Even if we are of different opinion in earthly matters, this has nothing to do with what God has done on you and on me. Oh, if we only could distinguish these things, and that we don't permit that we are robbed of the blessing of God just because earthly things have come into our way. If we can understand this, that God and the divine is above all earthy, and if we succeed with the help of God to make us free from the earthy things, to unfold in the spiritual, to to then be in the liberty of the children of God. Beloved, God wants to do great things today in all of us. He wants to reveal unto us Calvary in all its meaning by the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord's Supper will be a great blessing for us. We will be so deeply joined with one another in such an intimate love, namely in the love of God. And then nothing is missing anymore. Then there is fellowship of the Spirit. Then there is comfort. Then there is consolation. Then there is understanding. Then there is faith, hope, love. Then everything is there, what God has given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. But the earthy things, whether it's troubles or problems, whatever, there the spiritual seed could not grow properly, as the Lord himself said. See that this day does not overtake you because of the cares of life and this and that, and you would not be ready. Sometimes we are not watchful and let ourselves be taken captive by circumstances and then accuse God and all the world. And yet we fell into the trap ourselves and are to blame for everything. But if we come into the presence of God, then the question of guilt is clarified. God didn't have a bossiness with anyone and asked, how was it and how shall it be? He said, my daughter, your sins are forgiven you. Or my son, go and be well. Everything was clarified. We must understand that on Calvary, everything was clarified. We as people, we want to clarify. And the more we want to clarify, the more unclarities and troubles are coming. But if we understood that God has given an all-embracing, everlasting clarification, and is not superficial, but in the blood of the Lamb, and then the letter of requirements was torn in pieces, and the Lord was nailed to the cross, and the blood was shed. And now, we, as the people of God, are under the blood, and honor highly the book of the covenant, esteeming it, cherishing it. Here are our promises. Here is our certainty. Here God told us what happened on Calvary, and we believe it. And therefore we are under the blood of the new covenant, and the enemy cannot touch our soul. He can smash everything around us. This should not bother us. But our soul, he cannot touch. The Lord has shed his blood for us. We are under the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb. And if it was then already sufficient that the blood of a lamb was used and Satan, the destruction angel, with all his anger, could not achieve anything, how much more will the blood of the Lamb of God keep us and be our protection when we receive it by faith? At that time, Israel acted upon faith. They didn't ask Moses, why must it be this way? Or Aaron, would it not be better this way? No, God has given an instruction. It had to be obeyed by faith. And upon this, the blessing of God rested. In the same way, we celebrate the Lord's Supper as a memorial to that what happened for us on the cross of Calvary. But precious heart, if you cannot accept what happened there for you and for your brothers and sisters, then let the cup pass you by. But if you can believe that on Calvary a divine work of redemption took place, then partake of the supper and remember that your and my and the brothers and whoever they might be, that there, from God, the clarification took place. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I believe that God wants tonight write very deep into our soul through His Spirit what Calvary really means. How many years do we need to comprehend that we were comprehended? To understand that it's God's work through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that nobody can glory before Him. And if we come to the Lord's Supper, then we say humbly and with all our hearts, Lord, I'm not worthy that you remembered me. I'm not worthy to partake of the supper. But you took my place. You died for me. You bleeded. Lord, you pardoned me. I thank you for it. And I partake of the supper because I accept the redemption which happened on Calvary fully for me and for my brothers. Are you all ready for it? Really all? For you and for everybody? For everyone that no finger goes up anymore and says, but this brother and this sister, what is the word but? Where does it belong? There is a word for. For God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I don't read any but here. I just read the fact. For God so much loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so that all who believe on Him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the gospel. This is the golden rule of the Bible, as it's called in the English-speaking countries. And we believe that God today wants to reveal Calvary anew, and that today we partake of the Lord's Supper in a totally different certainty, being aware the letter of requirements is torn in pieces. The blood of the new covenant was shed for the people of the new covenant. Let me say it clearly. If God would not have taken us into this new covenant, then it would have never happened that to us the promises, the greatest promises which are in the Word for this time, would have ever been revealed. To whom did God reveal His Word and will? To His people, to His servants and prophets. And in these days, we may belong to them who know the will of God by His grace. And we say like Moses, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways. And we confess God has let Moses know His ways and to the children of Israel His doing. And if I say here today that God has let Brother Branham know His way with His church for this time, and that God lets us see His doings, then I did not exaggerate, and then I didn't go too far. God always uses prophets to reveal His word, and then He needs the called out people to place them under the word and under the protection of the blood, so that both the people and the book of the covenant be under the same blood, so that those who believe and that what is written make up a divine unity. Hallelujah. This is the mystery of God, that the Word becomes flesh in the church, that the promises can be fulfilled through them. Did we get it? Oh, if not, may God give it overnight. I don't mean this lightly. I mean that in deep seriousness. The hour of God is here. The Lord wants to glorify Himself. He wants to manifest Himself. He is the same With Him there is no change. Let us believe it. Let me read quickly the two scriptures, if not three. Luke 18, I mean Luke 22, from verse 14. Luke 22, from verse 14. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. In the cup was wine. His blood was still running in his veins. It was still before Calvary. But the cup represented already his blood, which he then has given. From 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the well-known verses to all of us, 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 16, The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. What a wonderful word. Here it is again about fellowship, about the fellowship with God, under the blood of the Lamb. And under this blood we have been placed. The cup of blessing, it is already blessed. The cup of blessing, which we bless a blessed cup. God has blessed the supper already. The Lord introduced it, and we have part in this divine blessing. The cup of blessing, hallelujah. The curse was changed into blessing. This happened on Calvary. The Lord drank the bitter cup of suffering. And he prayed, if possible, it should pass him by. It didn't pass him by, so it could pass us by. He took everything upon himself. All the curse he bore. And now we deal with a cup of blessing, which we bless for the blessed of the Lord. Believe it today, that the curse was really taken from us, and that we are the ones who are pardoned and blessed by God. This amen was not loud enough. It could not be heard in heaven. Oh, that it would go through our marrow and bone. I don't know, but something goes on within me. God wants to transfigure us, Calvary, through the Holy Spirit, and wants to make an end to all our kludge and show us the full salvation and the full gospel and the grace of God in a measure as never before, that we come out of all our own prisons and accusations and things that torment us, and that we are placed on higher ground, recognizing the curse has been taken from us. Now we have received the blessing. Blessed is the cup. Blessed is the bread. Blessed are all who partake of it. I ask you, has God taken the curse from us? Has Christ become the curse for us? Did he carry away our sins? Did he make the damage well? This is the core of the gospel. And if we today celebrate the Lord's Supper and partake of this blessed cup, then say in your heart, my God, how grateful I am to you that you have taken the curse away from me and that you gave me the blessing of God. Then the tears of thankfulness roll down. Then comes joy, worked by the Holy Spirit. And then prayers ascend to the throne of God. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship with the blood of Christ and with all them who are under the blood? This is the fellowship of the Spirit under the blood. What did Brother Branham say in the sermon, the token? The life of an animal which was sacrificed then could not come back on him who sacrificed. The one was human life and the other was animal life and blood. But he said, now, when the Lamb of God shed the blood, his spirit was set free to come back on all for whom the blood was shed. And then we have the three things together: the Word, the blood, and the Spirit. And then we stand before God, unblameable. Satan can accuse as much as he likes, day and night. He has nothing to sue at all. One day he will be in the dock, the old accuser, and then everything will be over for him. We, as the children of God, stand purified and sanctified before the Holy God. Can you believe this? God sees us through Calvary. If it wasn't so, we could all pack up and go home. But here we notice where faith sets in and where the reasoning has found its end. The reasoning always goes around. It plays the same record over and over again. If one listens to it, then it's not nice anymore to listen. Don't play your own record over and again. Let us accept and believe what God has given us. Let us honor God tonight through faith. And you will see what will happen. You can count with it that already tomorrow will be testimonies, if not tonight already, of that what God does. Because we honor God through faith. By our reasonings, it always goes round. Always round. We start somewhere and don't stop anymore. Round and round. But if we come to a rest in God, and I tell you according to the scripture, there is a rest for the people of God. And into this divine rest, God has placed us. The time passed very quickly. I don't need to read the word from chapter 11. This is even more known to all of us than that from chapter 10. There Paul has said, as I received it from the Lord, so I declared it unto you. There the admonition is addressed to all. Let everyone examine himself and then let him eat. I have no right to say, let everyone examine himself and then let him not eat. The Holy Scripture says literally, maybe I should read it, so that you know that it is written. Who can tell me that verse? Thank you. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It doesn't say, let him examine himself, and then let bread and cup pass him by. But let everyone examine himself. Everyone shall bow to God. Everyone shall come to the Lord as he is, in an examination which is based upon the word, and that we then look up to the Lord, to the Lamb which was slain, and not resign in unbelief, but looking by faith to Calvary, seeing it as that what it is, namely full reconciliation, grace, salvation, and forgiveness. And if we examine ourselves and find something, we bring it to the Lord. And this I say now between us. Even if we ask God for something that he would like to forgive us today, then in our deep inside, there is a voice which tells us, "My son, my daughter, I have forgiven you when I died on Calvary." But we come to the Lord because we feel guilty and we say, "Lord, forgive us." And we say to one another, "Forgive us. Forgive me, brother. Forgive me, sister." And everyone who comes to God in such a way, he may then recognize my forgiveness, for which I ask today with all my heart. God has given it to me in Christ, already on the cross. But God leads us through the Spirit to repentance, and we confess it before him and say it to him and ask him today for forgiveness. And after we received certainty by faith, we look to the place where it happened and say, "Lord, you have done it. Blessed be your holy name." May tonight not a single heart of unbelief in the hardening towards God be left behind, but may all, really, from the first to the last, recognize, here is the book of the covenant. Here is the people of the new covenant. And in the Lord's Supper, the suffering and dying, the blood of the new covenant is shown to us. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the fellowship with the blood of Christ? There are people who were redeemed by the blood of Christ. They have the fellowship of the Spirit with God and are also joined with one another. Do you believe it? We are joined with one another. And if there is any malfunction in the wire, then phone the hotline. And then it must be fixed. It must be possible to speak to one another in a clear and understandable language again, namely the language of God, the language of the Spirit. And if we say what God has said, then we are always right. May the Lord bless us. I know that God is present. I know that he blessed us, and that he tonight has opened the veil a bit more and let us look inside into the Holy of Holies. And the blood speaks reconciliation, forgiveness. It speaks better things than that of Abel. Everything is made well by the grace of God through the cross of Calvary. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up. We bow for a moment our heads. Dear brother, precious sister, in the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord said, "If you don't forgive one another, also the Father in heaven will not forgive you." We want, if we remember something or somebody, of whom we think that he has become guilty on us. We don't want to leave it in us, not bearing it any longer, but say, Lord, as you have forgiven me, so I have forgiven now my sister and my brother, totally and fully and forgotten. Forgotten. God doesn't always reopen old cases every day. He would have a lot to do. God doesn't do that. This unbelief does, and everything what follows it. Today, we want full forgiveness from God, and we fully forgive one another. Don't partake of the supper if you cannot fully forgive. God is a holy God. We examine ourselves and we want to eat, but we don't want to look over obstacles, but we want to tidy them up in the presence of God, asking the Lord to give us grace and strength. We forgive one another as God has forgiven us in Christ. Whoever can say this before God with all his heart, without making a den of robbers out of it, may God bless him with all the blessing in heavenly places. Today, God requires it from us. Today, the Lord's Supper shall become a blessing from God to everyone as never before, very fresh, very alive, very mighty. But we may not override God's word. Let everyone examine himself. And if you are reminded that you still have something against somebody, say it to your God. If you can't make it well here, say, Lord, you know, I make use of the next opportunity to it. I lay it before you. Help me. And you will see, tears will roll down. There will be remorse. The Spirit of God will be nigh to us. And then comes the fellowship through the blood of Christ, the fellowship of the Spirit among them who are under the blood and who are led by the Spirit of God. Today, the Lord wants to manifest himself. We sing the chorus, Just As I Am. And during that time, we make a deal with our God. Continue to bless us and let your word come to us. Also for the foot washing, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I on purpose didn't look on the watch, and I advise you all to do the same. We feel well in the presence of God and are grateful to the Lord. We no longer want to give way to our reasoning and speak in unbelief, but with all our hearts believe what God said and confess it with a mouth. We can only one of the two. Otherwise, we sit between two chairs and will need the whole life to become a believer. And if we are a believer and don't believe, what is this then? If we are a believer and don't believe, as the scripture says, what kind of a belief is this? This is a belief which bypasses God and His Word and is a torment and agony. But the faith in Jesus Christ is the victory which has overcome the world. And this faith we want to give room so that finally we get happy in our God. He has done it for His beloved bride. The bridegroom has done everything. To Him we want to give the thanks. Let us read two scriptures which deal with the foot washing. You all know, I was a believer for many years, and only sometimes, right after the war, I've done the foot washing in a denomination when I was in the conferences there. But we didn't have it in the churches of the full gospel. But when I was then in the tabernacle of Brother Branham, celebrating the Lord's Supper with him and also the foot washing, since that day I had to make my thoughts about it. There was just no way around it. I stood before the question, is he a man of God? Is he a prophet? Is it scripturally what he does? And I can really admit to you, I had still a small battle within me. But then I heard him say, the Lord has given to the church three ordinances which are inevitable: the water baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the foot washing. And then, when we started here in Krefeld, we also soon celebrated the foot washing, in as much as it has become possible. And every time we have been blessed richly. After all, it's good if one does what the Lord says and not discussing it away. There are enough people who discuss away the word which doesn't fit into their concept, explaining it away. And whatever they say, it makes sense. But only in the head, not in the heart. In the heart, God's word makes sense and nothing else. And nevertheless, all our brothers and sisters, we don't want to hurt you. You can hurt people with the scripture, and this is no good. We needed much time to recognize the necessity. And if there is a brother or a sister in our midst who still need a bit more time, take your time. Nobody shall be forced into something here. If we let ourselves be led by the Spirit of God, we will do what He said. But the moment of time, not a man can decide here from the front. Everyone has to get that from God. And I believe this will also happen that way. In the Gospel of John, in chapter 13, the Lord, in connection with the supper, He introduced the foot washing. I read to this from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, from verse 4. He rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus says unto him, He that is washed needeth not to save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. I would like to stop here a bit. The German saying is well known to all of us. Here it says, then not only the feet, but also the hands and the head. But the connection in which this word is written, we have to take note of. It was not James who wanted to wash the head of Peter. Here it was the Lord who was asked, then not the feet only, but also the hands and the head. We don't need to wash one another's hands or heads. We were commanded to wash one another's feet as the Lord did it. I read to it from verse 12. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Did we hear it? So ye also are obligated. It's not even exempted. It's given to us as a duty. Ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. We know it now, and we want to do accordingly. Paul took upon the subject once again in his epistle to Timothy, and he says it there in a nutshell, or he mentions it there in connection with the sisters. So they are included. Sometimes it seems as if Brother Branham or God's word would be against the sisters. Don't you ever believe this. What did he say? Only because I have God's love in me, therefore I say all this to help you. And if we understood this, then it shall be for our good. Here it says in verse 10, Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. We want to do what the Lord told us, and not asking why. One could, with the word why, start with water baptism, and where one would stop, nobody knows. We don't start to question we start to do. Jesus began both to do and to teach. We have no other choice than both to do and to teach. Our Lord didn't require something bad from us. And if somebody says cleaning shoes would be the same, nobody comes to clean my shoes. Always these lame excuses. And if somebody thinks today the streets are cleaner than they were then, I can tell you one thing. The feet of those in the Orient who only wear sandals, they have no problems with any kind of spray. Everything was better than our wrapped-in feet. Let us not look for excuses. Let us seek to do the will of God. If ye know these things, blessed are ye if you do them. And we want to be blessed. And to it belongs that we obey every command, and this with all our hearts, so that God's blessing rests on us. Can we really believe every word of God and with an inner agreement say amen to it? It's God's word. All scripture is inspired by God, profitable for doctrine, and we let ourselves be taught. For thus it is written, they all shall be taught by God. If some professor would come, he would teach this way and another one that way. But if we are taught by God, then we are unitary taught. Then we are under one head, Jesus Christ. Have one faith, one Lord, one baptism. Then the divine unity is established. As we said before, by the new covenant, the people of God and the book of God, the promises of God, we were all put together into this divine unity. Father, you in me and I in them, so that we all may be one. And so we want to hold fast to this divine unity in the Spirit. I know God has done great things tonight. His presence is feelable in this building. The Spirit of God is at work. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Maybe we stand up for prayer and then the sisters go down and the brothers remain here. Do you want to pray? Faithful God, we thank you once again that we also may obey this word. For your word is yes and amen, Lord. Give us all grace that we receive it without murmuring, without adding something to it, that we just obey it as you commanded it. For this may your name be blessed and praised. Amen. Faithful God, once again we give glory to your name and the praise that we could remember what you have done for us, that we may thank you for the redemption, for your blood which was shed. Lord, you paid the price. You made the covenant with us. Lord, it's an eternal covenant. It remains, Lord. Receive now the praise and the glory. We thank you for all brothers and sisters, for all who have come, Lord, and who will still come, Lord, but also those who cannot come. Give them all grace, and also for the prayer requests, who are sick, who suffer and are afflicted. You are the great physician. You can bless all. You are able to raise them all up. To your name be the glory. We ask you, abide with us and bless us tomorrow and also the coming meetings. Worship to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.